that's important for you to see the text. Now, we'll be in other texts, but I wanted you to at least know where that text was as we get started. As Ron was singing this morning, I was thinking about, we were having an update on Wednesday evening during prayer time about Pastor Saeed. Many of you may not know who he is. He's an American pastor who's from Iran, went back to visit family. He's been in prison now for over 2 years. And a letter came out just recently that said that that he has had the privilege of seeing almost 20 to 30 people come to know Christ as a result of him being in this Iranian prison. Now, I believe it's right for us to pray that the Lord would free him. But we also pray that God's will be done. And there's no doubt that that was never Pastor Saeed's plan for his life, to go back to Iran and be in an Iranian prison. But the impact that he's having for the name of Jesus is unquestionable. And as Ron was singing that song, I thought to myself, you know, what we have planned and what God has planned are sometimes two different things. But God's plan is always perfect, and his plan is always right. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it's always perfect. And so my prayer is that we begin to ask God more for what he wants and less of what we think we want, because God's plan is truly perfect. Also want to mention this. I told Ron when he was singing this song, I said, you know, that's a great infomercial for me, because we're actually studying the life of David on Sunday evenings. And I'd love to have you come back tonight. We start at 6 o'clock. Normally our format, so you know, on Sunday nights, we sing a song, maybe two. And then we jump into, I usually have a handout, fill in the blank type style. I sit on a stool behind the pulpit here, and we just teach for about 30, 35, 40 minutes, and then we are through. And I'd love to have you be back. It's a great study on the life of David. Tonight we're actually looking at the story that is so familiar with David and Goliath. And I want to discuss a couple of myths about that story tonight. So hope you'll be here this evening, 6 o'clock, and we'll have a good time once again in God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, I hope that you're there at this point, and we are in verse number 14 of 2 Peter chapter 3, and before we read that, I guess I should ask you, if you have a bulletin, look in the back of your bulletin. The theme for our first few Sundays of this month has been Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, Proverbs 29 verse 18, where it says, and it's on the back of the bulletin, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." And we've been discussing the importance of growing in his word. It's kind of our theme, if you will. It's our theme verse for 2014. And we've been using that verse as a springboard into other areas that we need to grow. Last week we discussed growing in fellowship. And today we're going to discuss the idea of growing in grace. And so we're talking about growing in his word, growing in fellowship, growing in grace, and what does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for us as collectively as a church, as we're now in the February of 2014? It's my prayer that our church takes what God's Word tells us as a living organism, the active body of Christ, and we march forward collectively and individually for the cause of Christ. I don't want to be what so many churches in the world today become, and that is this: well, I go to church. Great, what do you believe? Whatever my church believes. What do they believe? I have to ask the pastor. I don't know. I believe that's a major fallacy of the local church, that apathy is running deep in our churches if we don't know what God's Word says. One of the beautiful things about Jesus Christ coming and dying at Calvary is that He is now my intercessor. I don't, and you don't, have to go to a high priest to pray. You can pray directly before, come boldly, Hebrews says, to the throne of God. And because of that, we have the privilege to open God's Word and say, "Lord, please teach me." Now, we also have the privilege of collectively coming and worshiping corporately like we are today. And I want to encourage you, too. We're looking at worship in our Bible class hour before this, and I'd love to have you adults in that discussion as we talk about the importance of what real worship is. Point being is this, is we have an obligation to open God's Word and say, what does God's Word say, and how do I apply it to how I live? Look, it's a wonderful thing to be here this morning. It's a wonderful thing to actually get out of the house for a change this week, isn't it? As cold as it's been, right? And we get to come to God's house. But let me tell you, if all we do is just show up and we say an amen once in a while, and I'm glad you say amen, we're missing it. Because tomorrow at some point, something's going to happen in your life. You know, you're going to find out that a check bounced, or a deposit didn't go through, or a pipe burst, or something's going to happen, right? How many of you realize something's going to happen tomorrow? All right, some of you look at me like, what do you mean, what's going to happen? You know, something's going to happen tomorrow, you know? And then you're going to need the grace of God to deal with that something, you know? I don't know about you, but as much as I try to be prepared for things that are going to happen, something surprises me. What are you talking about? What do you mean that happened? Huh? Are you serious? All right. Now what? Now, I was sharing with our Bible class a little while ago that the only light some people are going to see is going to be through you and through me. And maybe how we act and interact and react to things is going to speak volumes about the God that we claim to serve. So, as we come collectively to worship, it's my desire that we grow in these areas because, quite frankly, if our mission is just to show up on Sundays and sit in a pew, then so what? But that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we are to continue to share and proclaim the truth of God's Word wherever we may go. Well, therefore, we need to be equipped and prepared for tomorrow. Live for Him today and continue to be equipped for tomorrow. Some of you are visitors. Some of you have been here before. You've heard this before. But when we lived in New Jersey, I trained in a martial art called jiu-jitsu. And our director, our professor, our black belt, he used to tease me. He said, "You're the only guy I know that gets more beat up and hurt learning self-defense than actually ever having to defend yourself." I walked into class one day, and my back was out, and I had a black eye from the night before. Guy by accident caught me with an elbow. I don't remember it happened, never bothered me. I woke up, my eye was just swollen shut, so I walked in to see him, and I'm talking like this so he wouldn't see my eye, because he hated the injuries on the mats. He hated that. It was bad. You know, he wants to know his school's safe, you know? So I'm talking to Professor Bongiorno, and I'm talking, he's like, "What's the matter with you?" I'm like, "Nothing, why?" He's like, "Turn around, I can't see." I'm trying to turn around, he's like, "What happened to your eye?" I don't know. "Who are you training with?" I don't know. Honestly, it was an accident. "Who did it?" "I don't know who did it, you know?" He's like, "You're the only guy I know that literally walks out of here more beat up than if you were ever actually in a self-defense situation." He's like, you're bad press for me. You know, he was always teasing me about that kind of stuff. "Hey, Perry, you want peace right now or are you hurting, you know?" But you know, the sad thing is, let's apply that to local church for a minute. This is a place we come to worship and exalt and glorify God. And to be equipped. We shouldn't walk out of local church more beat up than our time in the world throughout the week. This should be a time of spiritual encouragement, refreshment, and worship of our Savior. And then we leave and say, "Boy, am I ready to tackle what God has for me this week and proclaim His name to the nations." That should be our mission. So we're talking about then growing in grace. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 14 says this. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest also you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Verse 18 then says, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's look at a few things in this text before we move along. You'll notice, first of all, that as Peter is talking, he mentions Paul. And there's an agreement of Scripture. But then it also tells us, he says in verse 16, speaking in them of these things which are some hard to understand. You ever read something in the Bible and you've gone, what in the world does that mean? Come on, don't leave me hanging here. All right, thank you. Okay. There are things in Scripture that I don't understand. There are things in Scripture that you and I don't understand. And while we should struggle and ask God to help us understand and grasp those things, there is plenty that I do understand that I still haven't obeyed and followed in my life. We need to ask God to help us with those things that we are struggling with. But then the things that we clearly do understand, we need to apply those things rather than say, I don't like that. Too many believers, I understand that it says thou shalt whatever, but I don't like that part. How many of you ever read past Scripture and go, ooh, that was for me and I don't like it? Heard that before? Okay. All right. Some of you are with me here. That's good. Okay. It's not just me up here. All right. Yeah. And I read that and go, oh, Lord, please help me with that. But I don't really like that. I'm going to ignore it. But there's a passage here that's fascinating. I have no idea what it means, but this is fascinating. I want to really, well, wait. What about over here that you just knew about and you're rejecting it? Remember in the Old Testament, Lord said, hey, do this. Hey, speak to the rock. And Moses was like, I'm going to beat the thing senseless. You know? He knew what was right and he still ignored it. King Saul, destroy it all. Well, there's a few things that are really nice, but I don't want to destroy that. He knew God's word. He didn't obey it. I'll be honest with you. While I want to understand some of the things that are hard to understand, there's plenty that I know what it says, and as a people, we just tend to ignore. We need to ask God to put those things upon our heart and ask us to make the things right that we know need to be right. There's no doubt that collectively, as a people in our country, one of the issues I think is no doubt is greed. I mean, just think about what we have compared to the rest of the world. There's a video surfacing just recently, and it was kind of a satirical piece, kind of mocking, but it was people in third world countries standing by their homes. And when I say homes, I mean, it looked like I wouldn't walk into it. It was like a mud house with a window and a thatched roof. And the guy staying there and he says, boy, I sure wish I had a fresher Big Mac. The guy didn't know what a Big Mac is. And another girl saying, I wish my bottled water was colder. And they show her next to a trash heap with a spring out of a rock trying to get a cup of fresh water. And our biggest problem is our water wasn't 34.7 degrees when it came out of the faucet. And it really put things in perspective to realize the fact that we are so blessed that we become greedy with the things that, quite frankly, are beyond luxuries. I read a report just recently where it was saying that the average person in the world, if they had a fork, that's big news. I don't know about you, but I go through my fork sometimes. That one's bent a little bit. I don't want to use that one. I'll get another one. Yeah, that one's good shape. The one prong is a little off. Forget that one. I'll get something else. And that's how we do. And we miss the fact that we become so greedy in all that we have that it's just a natural part of our heart to say, I need this and I want that and I need this. And we become a greedy society. Well, in his writing, he continues, and it says this in verse 16, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, look what it says, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. You want to know why it's important that you grow in grace? It's important so that you know what's right and what's wrong. We studied just recently the book of Jude and the idea of earnestly contending for the faith. There's a continual struggle every generation that we contend for the faith of the Word of God. This is such so that the next generation doesn't waver, doesn't get off track. You see, we have some young people in our church, and praise God for that. I hope you continue to pray for more and more young people. But we need to pray that we stay on track so that the next generation stays on track. So that the next generation stays on track. You see, if we get off the trail a little bit, I've been hiking before in upstate New York. Anybody ever been out there before? Up near Scroon Lake, Lake Placid, anybody up there? It's different there in the woods. There's no undergrowth. It's pine trees. It's all pine. Pine and rock. So they mark the trails on the trees with fluorescent orange symbols. The trail looks the exact same as everything else on the floor of the forest. You get off the trail, good luck. Because every pine tree looks the same. So I remember the first time I realized this was a problem, I would stop at the mark and then look through the woods for the next mark. I don't want to be lost in the Adirondack Mountains anytime. It's too vast. All right? Something would eat me in a hurry. I'd just rather stay on the trail. So, man, I would walk a ways and make sure, okay, that's that tree I just came from. All right, you say that your parent? No, I want to be on the right path. And friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, our desire should be to grow in grace, to not twist the scriptures so that we understand exactly what the gospel says and where we stand in it. We must proclaim that truth. And verse 18 tells us to grow in grace. What does it mean to grow in grace? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man would boast. Colossians 3, 16 tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. We grow in grace by reading and understanding and grasping more of His Word. What is grace? Grace is the idea of receiving that which we don't deserve. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ today, the complete grace of God has been extended to you. It is a gift that we could not pay for, that we cannot reach. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're here today and you know Christ your Savior, there's a gap between Almighty God and you. And the only bridge that reaches it is the perfect gift of grace through Jesus Christ. There is no other substitute. There is no other option. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags, a trash pile. My good works equals, in God's perfect standard, a trash pile. Garbage. As a result, it is only God's grace that is extended to me for me to reach my Heavenly Father because of the sin problem that we have. And so, grace is what God gives to us even though we don't deserve it. It's God's grace. It justifies us. It sanctifies us. It glorifies us one day in heaven. Sanctification is the growing process. It's the same concept as growing in grace. So when I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, that's not the end. It's the beginning. You think about this. In some of Paul's writings, he discusses how the newborn babe in Christ desires the sincere milk of the Word. But as we grow, we don't stay on the milk of the Word. We grow and we begin to tackle some of the meatier things. And so understanding what God's grace is, it's a sanctification. It's a gradual process of growth. Now, here's the key. Because of that picture, we often view it the same way we do our own human lives. Well, all right, I'm 40. I'll be 42 this month. And I'm 6'2", I weigh 100 pounds, and, you know, I'm done growing. In fact, I may begin to deteriorate physically, you know, the knees and the ankles. And that's where the analogy stops. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, I should continue to grow. And continue to grow until God takes me to be with Him. There shouldn't be a, well, I'm done growing. You don't understand, Pastor Chris, I've been a Christian for 67 years. I'm good. That's not what the Bible says. We should all be growing. The other problem we have is the measuring stick we use. The measuring stick is Jesus Christ, not another Christian. Well, brother so-and-so, man, he is really spiritual, and I want to be like him. No, I want to be like Jesus. Now, no, don't misunderstand me. I think it's good to have some role models. But to understand that every role model, they have a limit and a failure level, just like you do, by the way, and just like I do. Jesus Christ is the perfect picture. Because Jesus Christ is what we should be magnifying and exalting anyway, no matter what. If Jesus Christ isn't exalted, and if He's not magnified, then, as we mentioned this morning in Bible class, we're worshiping something else. Let us, through our own life, reflect the grace and the goodness of Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about even Berean Baptist Church. It's about Jesus. Now, we should view that individually and then corporately as the local body here at Berean and say, all right, that's my desire. That's my goal. Let's come together and let's push for that together. That's why we have Bible study on Sunday morning for our Bible class. Why we look at, right now we're talking about the real church and we're talking about worship and fellowship. And we're doing that so that we have more understanding and more knowledge so we can worship God the right way. That's why we come together on Sunday morning and we open God's Word and as we look at different series, different texts of the Bible, we do that to grow and be sanctified more and more in Jesus Christ. That's why on Sunday nights we come back together and we do another Bible study. You say, well, that's a lot of Bible study on one day. We can't get enough Bible if He is our position and place of worship. Think about this for a minute. If what is most important to us is what we worship, then that also will mean it affects our time spent on that on any given week. Now, I realize because of modern culture and everything, we have jobs, we have to do different things, and that will eat up a lot of our time. And I know we have families, and I get all that. But our excess time that we have, where is it spent? Is a hobby more important than our time of worship and studying God's Word? When I was when we were living in the Atlanta metro area, I'm really, really into coaching, and I got a chance to work with a semi-professional basketball team in the Atlanta area. Did the tryouts and had open access to all their practices, and I just ate that up. Got to meet, you know, Division I athletes and semi-professionals and professionals from overseas, and it was a really neat experience for somebody who likes basketball. And there at the time the team was beginning to grow. And there was talk about bringing me on as an assistant general manager, traveling with the team. I was just, the basketball side of me was just like, this is going to be awesome. Well, then I started, you know, watching what they did and realized that, you know, most traveling was on Sundays. Wednesdays was practice from, you know, 5 to 8 at night. Wouldn't be around my family very often. And I began to think to myself privately, all right, let's see here. Wouldn't see Sonny and the kids, would never be in the house of God. Is that what God really wants for me when it's a choice I have to make? And I knew the answer. No way. But because of my love for the game, you kind of start to try to rationalize it. Well, it is a profession, and you know, you start doing this and that. Well, you know, the Lord solved that problem, shut the team down in about 6 months. Closed. You know, door slammed shut. I praise God for that. Great experience. And the Lord closed the door. But I wonder how many times we will do this. Well, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make it work. And we tend to rationalize what our love is versus what is best versus what. And as a result, we don't grow in grace. What we do is we put that aside. And we say, no, I'm going to do this because this is what I want to do. What does God want us to do? James 4 and verse 6 says that God gives grace to the humble. God's grace is poured out to those who are in humility. And in fact, God's word comes to those who have a childlike faith, the Bible tells us. That doesn't mean that if you're a believer, that you're better than someone that's not a believer. What it does mean is that you've humbled yourself to realize I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. That's what that means. I'm not better than someone else just because I'm a believer and they're not. I'm just born again by His blood. And I need to worship Him and praise Him for that every breath that I have. So as a result, His grace is perfect. And His grace is always sufficient. To grow in grace doesn't mean that we get more grace, because in John 3:16 he says, "For God so loved the world," how much? "That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but," what? "Have everlasting life." His grace is sufficient. The question is, are we resting in Him, or are we saying, I'm going to do this in my own strength, my own power, and we're not continually equipping ourselves for the race that's ahead? I have a lot of friends that for whatever reason they want to run marathons. Personally, I believe this is an illness. To run 26.2 miles doesn't make any sense to me. Even to run a half marathon makes zero. Now, maybe it's because I played soccer for years and I ran enough for all of us in here combined. I don't know. But running a marathon doesn't thrill me at all. Running a half marathon doesn't even begin to comprehend my little mind. It just makes no sense. But I know this. If you're going to run a marathon, you can't say, all right, I'm running a marathon, we're going to do it tomorrow. Not the way it works. Now, if you're in good shape, you might be able to pull off a half marathon that way. Maybe, if you're in really good shape. I remember when I was in college, I would run a 5K just to the drop of a hat. Sure, let's go run. That's fine. It's just a 5K. Half marathon, a marathon, there's no way. You have to equip yourself every single day for months out. I mean, there are programs you purchase to prepare yourself from this day, 6 months out, so that you're in your best optimal shape to run that thing. It doesn't go from day one to day 50. It's a gradual process. And you see, for the believer, it's the same thing. We want instant results, but as we are sanctified in Him, it's a gradual process. Lord, I want to be more like You. Then start today. You can't say, all right, well, Lord, I want to be more like You. I'm going to start tomorrow. Tomorrow never gets here. Well, I'm going to do this for the Lord next time or next week. Well, I'll share my testimony with somebody later. And what happens is we put it off, and then a major trial, hurdle, obstacle, debacle comes, and we wonder, well, it wasn't God. You should have been equipping for weeks and months and years now, and we weren't prepared, and as a result, we're wondering what to do because we haven't been resting in God all the way. May the Lord help us to see the necessity for us to rest in Him every day. Pastor, you don't understand, though. Things are going great. Rest in Him, in His goodness, then. But, Pastor, things are going the best they've been in months. Then take the time that you would be using to worry about something and just worship Him for that time, then. For the last 6 months, I've had to spend an hour a day dealing with problem X, Y, Z. It's gone now, so we're good. No, take that hour and just worship him in prayer and Bible study then. I don't know. Listen, what I'm saying is that what we do is we tend to go, well, things are good, so don't worry about it. We must guard against that. Remember when you were in school taking a class? I didn't have this problem very often, but, you know, you get an A in something. You know, you got 100 average. Ah, that test is 3 weeks away. I got an A in here. Who cares? I'll worry about that the day before the test. And then the test comes, like, uh-oh. This is a problem. I didn't know that was going to be on here. Oh, no. Well, just because things were going good doesn't mean you just ignore it. You stick in it. You stay in it. And friends, we need to be about God's word. We need to be around God's people. We need to be in worship consistently, because otherwise our heart begins to drift. And as a result, where we used to say, I am dependent upon him, now we're like, well, I'm good though where I'm at. And we have a false sense of security, because we're not dependent upon our Maker and the God of our salvation. We must come to this place where we are dependent upon him for every single step of the way. What does growing in grace do for us? Well, number one, it makes us, like I said already, more like Jesus. And enables us to make more of Jesus. Our goal should be to be making more of Jesus Christ to all around us. I saw an interview yesterday. I don't know who put it out there, but they were interviewing some of the Seattle Seahawks playing the Super Bowl tonight, and they were asking, what's more important to you, Super Bowl or your faith? And they had about five guys from the Seahawks, and they said, Jesus Christ is the most important thing that's ever happened to me. And they said, I'm glad you're asking this today, because win or lose tomorrow, Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that's ever happened. One of the players said, you know, this is just a game. He said, I'm going to wake up Monday, whether I lose or win, I'm going to be the same, but Jesus Christ has changed my life. Praise God for that testimony. That's fantastic. What a joy to hear someone proclaim Jesus Christ. Not just, well, I'm a Christian, or I'm just, he came out and said, you know what, this is the most important thing, that Christ saved me from my sin. Praise God. And that he used that platform to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. So the question is this: are you using whatever platform God gives you? It doesn't matter whether it's big or small. The platform God's given to you, are you using it to proclaim the goodness of Jesus? Number two, it makes us growing in grace. It enables us to become forgiving. What do you mean? Well, our own shortcomings should recognize for us that not only are we not perfect, but our loved ones aren't either. God's grace reminds me that I can do nothing on my own. I fail him. I fail others. Others are going to fail me. But Jesus Christ is perfect. And I exalt him in how I live. People are going to make mistakes. They're going to fail. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fail. But Jesus Christ, his grace, it's sufficient. Let us learn to realize that people are going to make mistakes. They're going to fail. But Jesus Christ, he's never failed. He is good. Thirdly, it makes us look to extend this grace to other people. People all around us need the grace of Jesus Christ. Some are believers that have fallen on tough times. Some are lost. Are they seeing God's grace in your life? Or are you the person that go, oh no, here comes so and so? Let us have the humility of God's grace upon us. And lastly, kind of reiterating the other three points, it makes us desire God's grace to all the world. I mentioned Pastor Saeed in the message. There are people groups around the world that they don't have the gospel in their language. They don't have the written word translated from the Hebrew and Greek into their language. And it's not coming anytime soon. There should be a burden that God's grace is extended to them in this day, in this generation, to the people groups around the world, to the people down the street. Listen, rather than be judgmental to the people down the street who are on, quote unquote, hard times. Why not we ask God, Lord, help me to be able to extend your grace to them in some way this week? What if we did that? What if rather than we just talked about doing this, we actually found a way to extend God's grace to someone within our reach this week? Should we pray for the nations? Absolutely. We should do that. But let's face it. More than likely, nobody in here is going to reach, Bangladesh this week. But you might be able to reach 3rd Street or whatever street that you're on, that there's someone that is in need of seeing God's grace fleshed out. Maybe you're the light or the salt that they need to see. It's an honor and a privilege that we have a chance to grow in His Word, to grow in fellowship this week, to grow in grace. Let us desire to be in His house, in His Word, in fellowship with Him, that we can continue to grow in the grace of God. Our Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You so much for the privilege we have of being in Your house on this morning. Father, we don't deserve the grace extended to us. Thank You so much for the gift of salvation. Thank You, Father, for saving me from my sin. Father, I pray that if there are any here today that have never given their life to You, that they would realize their need for Christ. Father, I know that there are people here today that do know You. I pray that they would not become complacent or stagnant, but they would seek to continue to grow in Your grace every single day. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you in this auditorium say, Pastor Chris, I praise God. I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I know it because Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. Just slip your hand up quietly. Amen. You put your hands down. Praise God for that testimony. Maybe you're here and say, I couldn't say that honestly. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you. Understand this. This invitation, I don't want to embarrass anybody ever. But maybe you say, you know, I realize that I'm lost. I don't know Jesus Christ. I've not given my life to Him. And I kind of need that, I think. Would you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Just slip your hand up quietly. I won't embarrass you anyway. Would you just please pray for me? Just slip your hand up quietly. Yes. Are there others? Would you just please pray for me? I need Jesus in my life. Anybody at all like that? Anybody else? Let's all stand. Let's bow in prayer. Let's ask God to help us. If you want to come to the altar and ask God to help you continue to grow, by all means, please do so. You can pray at your seat as well. Let's ask God to help us grow in His grace in 2014. Father, I pray that You would draw us to You, that You would challenge us and stir us, Lord, may we grow in Your Word. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Why don't we pray silently? You can come to the altar and pray as well. Lord, thank You so much for the chance you've had to open Your Word this morning. I pray that as Your Word promises, it will not return void, that we will, Lord, continue to dwell and meditate upon these thoughts and upon Your Word. And Lord, we love You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask